you just take that? Thank you. I think it's much better that it's that way around, that I don't lead worship this morning. I'm not saying anything about your speaking. I'm sure speaking is fantastic. I'm digging a hole. I'm just going to move on fast. Now, if you were here last week, you'll know, well, you won't know, but the recording actually failed. So I had to re-record last week's talk at home for the website. And a very kind person this morning told me that they'd listened to it, and it was a bit like Jack and Ori. and it sent them to sleep. So I'm hoping to be a bit different this week and not send you to sleep. Could the welcome team with their baskets, again, if there's some note sheets, are you able to give those out? If people have you got them already? Oh, look. Oh, I'm impressed. Well done. Fantastic. Okay, so here we are. Chris, can I have slide one? Sorry, I've got all sorts of bits here. I'm trying to sort this out. Here we are. Just walk across the room. So today marks the end of our four-week journey on the teaching series that we've had called Just Walk Across the Room. Three Sundays ago, we began exploring a new way of looking at personal evangelism so that it wouldn't feel like that. And what we've been asking is, what if evangelism really is as simple as just a walk across the room? So we started off at week one, we'll have a quick recap, with the single greatest gift. And we said the single greatest gift that we can offer the people around us is an introduction to the God who loves them, who has created them, and who has a purpose for their lives. We saw that just walking across the room starts with a decision on our part to leave our circles of comfort. Do you remember the circles of comfort? I had to get these out again. Good value from a prop. And this is our circle of comfort where, you know, we're just comfortable here. We don't want to step out of it. We're happy with the way things are here. We don't want to take too many risks. But if we're going to be people who walk across rooms, we need to be prepared to step out of these circles of comfort. And where did we go to? We step into the zone of the unknown. Everybody's laughing. Look, I'm proud of this. Okay, this is a creative moment. This is the zone of the unknown. This is where it's a bit risky, where we don't really know what's going to happen. We don't really know what the conversations are going to be like. We can't really depend too much on ourselves. It's like, oh, Holy Spirit, what's going to happen here? And really, it was all about, are we going to be people who are going to decide to take those steps for the sake of people around us? So we then moved on to week two, which was lost its thing. The Mac doesn't like the fonts I do PowerPoints in. It should say living in 3D. And we had these glasses, and they were a reminder to us that living in 3D is about being intentional, about developing friendships, discovering people's stories, discerning what are the next appropriate steps to take with this person who I've got to know, whose story I've got to hear. How can I do something that leads them on in their journey to know the Lord? And it reminded us that actually it's about the other person. People are so precious. They are so valuable to God. And it's about us asking questions, getting to know them, spending time with them, valuing them as the people who God's created them to be. And then taking whatever opportunities Holy Spirit gives us to offer them the greatest gift. So week three, we moved on to the power of story. We had quite a lot of fun last week, which didn't come over on the Jack and Ori style recording. We were looking at what's God's story and what's our story of faith, and how can we learn to tell them well so that they're effective? Our words are really powerful. How can we harness that to tell good stories of who God is, of his love, and what he's done in our lives? Now, I set you some homework. Who's done their homework? Do you remember I said, why don't you go away? And the goal is to be able to try and tell your story, your before I met Jesus and after I met Jesus story of faith in 1 minute. Now, I did warn you that I was going to ask for a volunteer. Would anybody like to give me? The leadership team are all quaking at this point because they know. I told them if nobody else did, they had to. So, anybody? Has anybody? Would anybody like to come tell their story in 1 minute? Okay, right, leadership team. Come and give us an example. Where's Susan? I told you. She's going to get it. She gets it. Shall I give you mine? Here you go. Look, here's mine. I worked on it. Needs a bit more work. Need to, you know, kind of commit it to memory a bit more. I'm just going to read it. But here you go. I'm going to start my thingy. And away we go. Okay. I grew up always needing to behave properly, to please people, to earn my parents' love through performing well at school. I had this weird belief that if I did bad things would happen back to me. I went to church with my parents, and I believed in God, but there was nothing deeper than that. At 18, I went to university, and I met a girl called Andrea, who lived like she knew God. She had this real relationship with him. She was happy and peaceful. She wasn't striving all the time like I was. She wasn't worried all the time like I was. I became so hungry for what she had. I realized the way that I was living my life wasn't great. So I asked God to help me change it and know him. And at that point, it was like a fog cleared, and I knew God was there. I knew I could know him. I knew he loved me, and I knew I could reach him, and I didn't have to earn his love anymore. Since then, it's just been this amazing, growing friendship with God that's the best thing I've ever known. Oops, 1 minute 14. But there you go. That's an example of what I was telling our before I met Jesus and after. In that moment where somebody says to you, so what's all this about? You just might have just that moment to grab it. Susan.
Yeah, I think mine might be quite short. Like Kerry, I'm still honing mine. So I had a really happy childhood. I was happy at school. I had a fantastic time at university. And I was in complete control of my life. I was always happy, except when people got in the way of my plans and the things that I wanted to do. Then I would get angry and I wasn't such a nice person. I certainly didn't need Jesus in my life because I was in control. How Jesus wooed me is actually a story in itself. But he did, and I was able to learn how to trust him as he helped me through the challenges that life has since thrown in my way. Without him, I would certainly not be married to my husband. I would probably have no friends, but at least I would think I was in control. He has helped me to trust him as well as trusting other people and realise that when God is in control, my life is immeasurably better.
Really good. 1 minute. Actually, no, because I started at 5 seconds before, so that is 58 seconds. Well done. Fantastic. Ben Wells, have you got yours? Look at his face. There was sheer panic went across Ben at that moment. Okay, Ben, we'll let you off. So do you kind of get the picture? It's just that minute you've got. You don't want to start with, well, when I was 3, and then I was 4, and then I met this and that. It's just that minute you've got to tell something. This is what Jesus has made in my life, a difference Jesus has made in my life. So that's where we got to. So this week is our final week, and what we're looking at is grander vision living. I'm just going to restart this and just make sure I know where we're up to. Okay, so I was really passionate about bringing this series to us as a church because I really felt it was going to be a necessary encouragement, equipping, and a little bit of a wake-up call to us. Because, you know, I think we're fantastic as a church at loving people, at getting alongside people. But I think it's really easy to leave it there and never actually say anything about Jesus. And we need to love. That's what it's all about. But there come those moments where we need to speak up for who we are and what we believe. And we've looked at this over the last 3 weeks and we've had some fun along the way. But how do we maintain this momentum? So when this series is over, what difference is it going to make? Is this just going to have been a sort of 4 week shot in the arm? Oh, that was interesting. And it's not going to make any difference. Or can it be a catalyst for some deep change in us, in our lives, in our thinking, and in our habits, the way we live? And I think that for it to be that, we need to have a vision that undergirds this. We need to have a reason why this is important. And that's what we're talking about, this grander vision living. We're looking this morning at acknowledging that there is way more to life than just what we live on the surface. But what is this grander vision that we're looking at this morning? So if you've got a Bible, you could turn to Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at a story in the Bible which may be really familiar to you. Luke wrote a book in the Bible, and we're going to be looking at starting at verses 1 through to 11, and I'm going to read it in the Message Bible, which will mess with everybody who's got different things. But here we go, and it's up on the screen if you need it. Once, when Jesus was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, the crowd was pushing in on him to better hear the word of God. He noticed two boats tied up. The fishermen had just left them and were out scrubbing their nets. He climbed into the boat that was Simon's and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Sitting there, using the boat for a pulpit, he taught the crowd. When he had finished teaching, he said to Simon, "Push out into deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Simon said, "Master, we've been fishing hard all night and have caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets." It was no sooner said than done. A large haul of fish, straining the nets past capacity. They waved to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats, nearly swamping them with the catch. Simon Peter, when he saw it, fell to his knees before Jesus. "Master, leave. I'm a sinner and I can't handle this holiness. Leave me to myself." When they pulled in that catch of fish, awe overwhelmed Simon and everyone with him. It was the same with James and John, Zebedee's sons, co-workers with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "There is nothing to fear. From now on, you'll be fishing for men and women." They pulled their boats up onto the beach, left them, nets and all, and followed him. I wonder if we can just imagine how Peter, James and John must have felt. Really cheesed off and worn out after a night. And then they go and they pull in. I mean, what was that? Months worth of salary, a year's worth of salary, all in one moment. The boat was sinking. It was so full of fish. You know, Jesus has come into their lives and in one moment brought them abundant living as they had never, ever known it before. But, you know, he was actually offering them a lot more satisfaction than just loading a great catch of fish. Let me just quote you from Bill Hybels' book that this series is based on, Just Walk Across the Room. And he says this: Jesus probably laughs as he tries to get their attention in the midst of their excitement. "Hey guys, do you think that was something? Try thinking a grander thought for a second. There's nothing wrong with catching fish. I know you're trying to earn a living and taking fish to market day in and day out in order to earn a few dollars is as good a way as any. But instead of netting a few fish, imagine landing a few destinies." That's where the action is. "Peter, James, John," Jesus said as he looked them in the eyes, "so far you three men have spent your days being fishermen. But what I'm inviting you to, right here and right now, is to become fishers of men and women. Instead of investing your precious time and energy in catching 6-inch fish, let's go for 6-footers. I'm asking you to give up everything you have and everything you are for the sake of people's souls. Come with me, and you'll see what living is really about." And I think that's Jesus' same question to us today. Are we going to throw our one and only life into pursuing small fish, the ordinary stuff of life? Or will we risk tossing our nets out there in anticipation of catching human-sized ones? Are we going to live a grander vision? Or are we going to be the type of people who settle for a lesser one? I think there are two important things that we need to think about and take out of this story. And the first one is that the priority is people. We talked about this a little bit in previous weeks, but Jesus wanted those three fishermen to understand that this life is all about people. So in grander vision living, the priority is people. Jesus wants us to prioritize people above everything else. And that's what so much of this series has been about, isn't it? It's been about taking walks across rooms for people. It's been about caring about for people as we get involved in their stories. It's about been about being interested in who people are and what they might need. And so Jesus just says to each one of us, if we want to be walk across the room people and become fishers of men and women, we can carry on with our ordinary lives if we want to in our busy, self-obsessed culture, or we can live for something higher and care about reaching people with a message that will change their lives forever. And many of us have seen that. You know, I can see Hannah sitting there thinking about Recharge. She knows she has a message that changes people's lives forever. And that's true with every one of us. Jesus was saying to all his followers and to us, please understand how important your priorities are and what priorities are we going to set? You might recall a video clip that we showed right back at the beginning in week one where Bill Hybels said, if we would all do just the one small thing that we can do, we would touch a lot more lives. And I've thought about that quite a lot. And we can think that the small things that we do don't matter, but they really do matter. He tells a story of being out in a snowstorm, and there's an old lady who was needed to get from here to there, and there's a big patch of snow in the middle, and he stood there and he thought, what do I do? So he went up and he said, could I help you? And she went, yep, and stood like this, just waiting for him to pick her up, which he did, and carry her over the snow, and he set her down, and she said, thank you, and he went on his way. And as he walked on his way, he was just thinking, well, did that make a difference? Well, it did. The priorities, people. That was a touch of the grace of heaven coming down to earth in a really small way. Another quote from the room, walk across the room, I like this. You don't have to be any more talented, any richer, any slimmer, any smarter, any more or any less of anything to partner with God right now. All you have to be is willing to be used by him in everyday ways. And I think that's quite interesting, isn't it? Because it's so easy to think, I need to be more of something. I need to know more. I need to be better. I need to be more holy. Actually, we don't need to be any of those things. All we need is to be willing and say, God, okay, let's give this a go. And I think Jesus is so convinced about us living this grander vision of not just fishing for fish, because that's the way God's kingdom is built. And that's the way our souls get satisfied. When we begin to live in a grander vision way, we won't want to go back to what we did before. Jesus knew that you and I, if we would build a lifestyle around accepting people, getting to know them, caring for them, serving them, listening to them, embracing them, befriending them, and then exposing them to spiritual things, prioritizing people, he knew that would be the most fulfilling way to live. But having said that, people are tricky, aren't they? Now, nobody in this room is tricky. You're all lovely. But some people are just a little bit unlovable, aren't they? It's just a bit difficult. And some people can seem so far from a relationship with God. How do we see past that stuff in when we're prioritizing people? And this, I think, is the second important point from that story, that actually the focus is on people's potential. It's our ability, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to see past somebody's, I am never interested in that, I want nothing to do with that, and actually envisage them as people living for Jesus, being followers of Jesus. You know, Jesus looked past those three fishermen's dirty, smelly, grumpy exteriors and saw men who would actually become faithful disciples and take his message to the entire world. He saw past their exteriors to see their potential. And the great gift we can have with the Holy Spirit and the challenge he gives to us is, will we see past people's exteriors? Will we look past people's self-centeredness and see their potential for being amazing servants of Jesus? Will we see past the things they're doing wrong and see their amazing potential to stand in a right place with God, longing to do his will? Will we look past people's character faults and rough edges and see the potential for them being people who will build God's kingdom on this earth? We looked at our before and afters. Susan and I just gave you some before and afters. I wonder, what was it in our world that Jesus looked past and saw our potential? I'm so glad he did with me. And I wonder if you are too with you. And I think we need to approach people with that same eye for potential. Who could this person be when Jesus has got hold of them? I have a friend who I've known for 20 years who isn't a follower of Jesus. He's married to a friend of mine who is a follower of Jesus. He's a rough-edged character. He's driven. He's very forceful. He's full of views. He's a total salesman. And he seems very far from God. And Jonathan and I over the years have prayed for him often. And I often do pray for him because I hold in front of me the potential that I see in that man to be somebody who is sold out for Jesus, who never stops talking about what God's done, who can build the kingdom in this passionate, forceful way. That's potential. And I hold that in front of me as I pray for that man. And I know that that's what God sees. That's our challenge with people. So there may be people in your lives, people you come across and you think, man, what's going on here? Let's ask Holy Spirit, what's beneath the surface? What does God see? Let me just share one story from Let's Walk Across the Room that really impacted me. Bill Hybels describes, I just need to get a prop here before it all goes a little pear-shaped. Where's my prop gone? Bill Hybels describes a time when he was sitting in a meeting and all of a sudden the speaker got out a roll of stickers. Okay? There's something we must all understand, said the speaker. He walked along the front of the platform and he began putting red stickers on things. So he put a red sticker on a toy house. He then put one on a toy car. He then put one on a toy desk representing somebody's job and career. You may not be able to tell from where you're sitting, he said, but every red sticker has a word on it, and that word is temporary. And these things that I'm putting them on, the speaker said, are all temporary. They'll fade away when the world ends. If you're living for these things, then you're living a life of temporary pleasure, temporary satisfaction, temporary fulfillment. The speaker continued walking around the room. The audience grew totally silent as he put a red sticker on thing after thing after thing. Temporary. 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 There's only one thing that's not temporary, the speaker continued. There's only one thing that you can take with you into the next world. He called someone up to join him on stage. And he put a blue sticker on her. Stand up. When you get to the end of your life and you take your last breath, what is it you want your life to have been about? No earthly commodity is going to make it from this world into the next. Not land, not titles, not jobs, not bank accounts, not achievements. Only souls. It really is all about people. So that's our invitation. What will we choose? Will we choose to live a grander vision, or will we settle for our lesser visions of a nice, quiet, safe life? I read that story quite a lot of the fishermen, and there was a line that just rang in my head constantly where Simon says, "Master, we have worked hard all night long and caught nothing." Is my life going to be a night of long, hard work with nothing to show at the end? I couldn't bear that. Do you know we get one shot at this thing called life? On every one of our gravestones, this is a bit morbid, there's going to be date of birth dash date of death. What are we going to do with our dash? That's this life we're living now. What are we going to do with our dash? Are we going to live safely, selfishly, cautiously? Life must be about something bigger than ourselves. The satisfaction that we seek is never going to come from self-gratification. Will we leave something beautiful behind after us? Will our dash be a life that is well lived? Jesus came to bring abundant life, redemption, transformation to anyone who would accept him. Will we leave behind us lives and families, a community here in Maidenhead that's been transformed by the love of Jesus? That's why we need to take walks across the room. That's why we need to let God change our priorities so that we will willingly grab opportunities to share this amazing life with Jesus that we have found. We have an incredible gift to give the world. The gift of a relationship with Jesus is like nothing else. Jesus reached out to people everywhere he went, seeing the potential of people's lives transformed by grace. So, let's make that daily decision that just says, God, if there's somebody today I can walk across a room to, I'm prepared to do it. Just prompt me. Holy Spirit, and when I get out of that circle of comfort into that zone of the unknown, just give me what I need. I'm just going to be interested in that person. I'm going to purposefully and intentionally live my life with a different focus. I'm going to live a grander vision. So, every week I've given you a little gift to take away to remind you. This week, we have some really tiny little things that none of you can see. So let me show you on screen. These are some little wooden hearts that all have stamped on them the words, grander vision living. And I would just encourage you, they'll be in this basket over there. I would just encourage you to take one home with you and stick it in your pocket, in your purse, in your car, on your windowsill, wherever it is that you just look at that on a daily basis and go, that's what I'm living for. I'm wanting my dash to mean something. I'm going to live a grander vision. So take those home with you. I hope you've enjoyed Just Walk Across the Room. I hope you've got good things out of it. I've certainly heard the small groups have had some fun. And what my hope, my prayer is that it will change us and the way we live as people, carrying amazing news and gifts to give people. So can I ask you to stand? And what I'd really like to do is to pray for us all, if that's okay. Kerry and the band are going to come up, and what they're going to do is lead us in some worship. Which will be a great time to reflect on what Jesus might be saying to you out of all of that. All of those words I've just splurged out. What's Holy Spirit saying to you? So we can take some time. We've got a good 20 minutes just to be in God's presence and allow Holy Spirit to talk to us. And let me just pray. Father God, I want to thank you that there is a grander vision for our lives. I want to thank you that you have plans for every one of us to live abundant and fulfilling lives. And I want to thank you that we as people matter more to you than anything else. And Lord, what I just ask is that you'll take us as a church and you'll put that same heart in us for others. That you'll give us a passion, Lord God, to live our dash, to live our lives with purpose, with vision, reaching out to those around us who don't know you, and to enjoy those adventures with you. Lord, would you just take us on a journey, our individual, unique journeys with you, transforming us into walk across the room people who simply go on daily adventures with you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, would you grow this church with people who have come to know you through the walks across the room that we intentionally take day by day. In Jesus' name.